against that day. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. In the book of Joshua chapter 8, we'll get right on in to the Word of God. You pray for us. Believe God with us today for the remainder of the service. For some of you that maybe haven't been here, we started this series. I don't even know, Brother Wade, what... This is message 14 on this series. And I'm not going to be done for at least message 15. Tonight, the Lord be our helper. We've talked a little bit. We jumped the gun a little bit Wednesday night and mentioned how that the spoil was to go to the people in battle here in the battle of Ai. In the battle of Jericho, God plainly said that you're not to take of the spoil. None of this is to be put in the treasury, everything that's not destroyed. And he said in chapter 6, verse number 18, see to yourself that you touch not or take not of the accursed thing. Every one of us know that, well, you're finding Joshua chapter 8, how that Achan went again the word of God. And he said, when you do this, it'll bring trouble to the camp of Israel. When we partake of sin, Achan partook of it, then he put it among his own stuff. Somebody says, well, what I do doesn't affect nobody else. That's a lie, straight from the pits of hell. Biggest lie, Satan never threw at anyone. Everything you do affects somebody else. Whether you be on the job, whether you be at this, what you feel, the comfort of your home, if you're on the lake, if you're in the house of God, your life affects somebody else. The Bible plainly declares no man lives to their self, no man dies to their self. Live or die, your life will affect others. And in this we see how victory was turned into fear, doubt, and defeat. All because of someone taking of sin, putting it among themselves. I stated he didn't bring that Babylonian garment and wrap it around him, come in saying, look what I've got. But he hid it among this stuff. And today the church hasn't just hid it among their stuff. They're bringing it in and using it as things of God to be used. And God's saying it's accursed. It's accursed. Stand with us if you have Joshua chapter 8 found tonight, or this morning rather. Joshua chapter 8. I'm going to read verses number 1 and 2. Then I want you to flip over, or on mine it's the next page, to verses number 10, 11, 12, and 13. Joshua chapter 8, verses number 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed or discouraged, if you will. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil, here's the difference, only the spoil thereof, and the cattle thereof, shall ye take for prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. In verse number 10, and Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai, and all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Notice what he said in the latter part of verse number 11. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them in lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went, listen, had to read this in the latter part of verse number 13. Joshua went that night into the valley. Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Going to stop right there. Going to preach. The Lord be our helper just a little while this morning, continuing on the thought we've been preaching for several weeks now. I have the victory over. I want you to notice here, after the in the first part of chapter 8, you find it's entirely different than it was in chapter 7. Brother Arliss in chapter 7 does not say anywhere that Joshua inquired of the Lord how this battle's to go. He sent men out, sent spies out to check out how Ai was. They come back and they begin to declare, this is how I feel that the church so many times get exalted in themselves. Paul said they're ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, folks, when we think we've got it in our control and in our ability to do, we're wrong. For the Bible says that the ways of a man is not in himself, for it's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Would you look at this for a moment with me? They didn't inquire of God in this battle. God had, you see, in chapter number 5, you'll find it, that Joshua met the captain of the Lord's host. He fell in reverence as he said, this is holy ground. And he realized the sword typifying, if I'm captain, I'm in charge. I'm leading in this battle. In chapter 6, Joshua listens to every plan. I mean detail in detail. How that God says the victory's to come. And the victory came. But in chapter 7, they come back, the spies. And they said, oh, this is a piece of cake in hillbilly terminology. It's no need to trouble all the people. But just let a few go, about 2,000 or 3,000, they stated, for they be little. And the Bible declares 36 of those men died in that battle. They turned their backs toward their enemy and they begin to flee. Why? Because they realized this battle's not mine, but it's the Lord's. And if God be for us, who can be against us? But they found out real quick that God's not in this battle. And the Bible says their hearts melted and ran as water. Fear began to grip them. And earlier in the book of Joshua chapter 2 on through, it talks about how the enemy feared at the very reverence of the children of Israel, knowing that the God they served was a great and mighty God. And that Rahab the harlot said that all the inhabitant of this land fears because of the God, that he's the God of both heaven and earth. There's not another God anywhere like the God the children of Israel serving. And there was fear and reverence. But when they got out of the perfect will of God and began to take things into man's hands, you see, the Bible said, let every man be a liar, but let the word of God be true. When we begin to take things in our hands and not include God, it begins to bring a separation between the people of God and God. Why is it God cannot bless sin? God will not walk and honor a person that he'll hear a sinner, but it's the sinner's plea is what he'll hear. I can see, Brother Ron, in this battle, when he said, Joshua, the Lord spoke to Joshua and said to him, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed or discouraged. Well, I'd be awful discouraged if I just got shot down by the enemy, wouldn't you? I'd be afraid if the enemy had overwhelmed those that we sent into battle and they begin to flee. What do you usually look in when you see someone fleeing? It means that you are afraid. You're in terror. You are dismayed over that enemy. That's not the way God intended it. And now God says there was a reason for fear to be there. There was a reason for reverence to be there and for folks to be dismayed or even be discouraged. You know, a lot of the times that when I get encouraged, discouraged, Brother Fred, is when I've allowed something to come in a battle, in a conflict, and I don't a lot of times go to the Lord in that battle or conflict, but I think, well, bless God, I can handle this myself. Hello? They think they're going to talk to me that way. Who was it? Somebody. I tell you, sometimes losing your mind ain't always a bad thing. Somebody told me the other day, and I don't even remember who it was, said that there was a pastor. He was a senior pastor, and said a couple from his church come before him and said, we've got a lot of things we won't talk to you about. Come to his office. And said, we got some things we think you're wrong in, and you're not being used of God, you're being used of the devil. And said, this senior pastor sat there and listened to every bit of the things that they said to him that would have been no doubt hurting and terrifying to anybody. Brother Arliss, whoever, I don't even remember who told me this story. Oh, but said it was true. And said the senior pastor sat there and said after a while tears started running down his face. And said they's telling him what a sorry preacher and pastor that he was. And that they wanted something done about things that they were complaining about. And said directly that senior pastor got up. Got that man as a husband and wife, by the way. Got that husband and wife one by one hand, one by the other. And said he knelt down right there before his desk on the floor. And said, he said, would you please pray that God will deliver me and help me from these evil things that you're accusing me of. And said, when they knelt down there in prayer, said in a little while, that husband and wife's heart was smoked within them. Brother Arliss, they began to beg God, God forgive me for thinking this against my pastor. And things were amended. What are you saying, preacher? That preacher listened to God. God said this is a way that it's to be done. He could have said, you get out of my office if you don't like this. He could have been like Leo Dye has been a lot of times, try to take matters in his own hands and think, I think I can handle this, and wind up in a heap of trouble. Listen, folks, it's not in our ability to fight that devil and get the victory. It's God. It's God before us. Who can be against us? Isn't it strange how that the least of battles sometimes the children of Israel had came through a great conflict. They come through a great battle. Jericho was much stronger, much greater than the battle of Ai. But they were defeated in the smallest of battles. Why? Because God's not in that battle. God's not in that battle. If we think for a moment, we can do it. Listen, if you've got family problems, don't think you can work it out. It'll get worse. If you try to work anything out without God's guidance and God's help, take it from somebody that's got enough sense to know. If you got children, you think you can raise them? Oh, you can't. You'll make devils out of them. You'll make children that the society hates to see coming. They'll say, oh my God, here comes that bunch. Yeah. But you give them to the Lord, and I can tell you what the Lord will do. He'll make somebody out of them that'll be pleasant to be around. And they'll be devil chasers and devil haters. They'll not want to do the things that'll displease their God. And listen, folks, that's the problem we've come into in the church age today. Everybody's religious. Everybody, listen, I thank God I'm preaching to you. I have the victory over. And today I'm going to go a little farther. I have the victory over the valleys. It is never sometimes the greatest battle you'll ever find will be in a valley. Did you notice here? God began to speak to Joshua. Brother Arliss, and he stated to Joshua, he said, Joshua, here's the way it's to be done. First, number one, you've got the accursed thing dealt with. Folks, if we hadn't dealt with the wrong that's in our lives, it has to be killed. It has to die out, that the spiritual man can live in us. And he said, Joshua, you've got the curse dealt with now, and it's time for us to march on in the victories. Where are you going to? I'm taking you from that right to the very valley. God designed this valley for you. Folks, it isn't always, valleys aren't always a bad place. There's been a few times in that valley. You know what the devil says? I've got you in the valley. By the way, it was in a valley of Achor that Achan was stoned. But you know what that valley done? It produced victory for the children of Israel. Sometimes it's in the valley that the will of Leodah has to die. But in that valley, it'll produce victory. Folks, I have the victory over valleys if I'll allow God to lead me in that valley. God began to speak to Joshua and he said, I want you to number the people of Israel. He numbered 30,000 mighty men. These weren't just ordinary men. You read it, it's mighty man. He brought out 30,000 mighty men. He said, here's what God says to do. Folks, I believe this old book from lead to lead. And that's why the devil's doing everything he can to counterfeit and to bring in hundreds of translations to dilute this true, uncompromised Word of God. If you think there's other books that'll get you to heaven, you ain't got the experience you need. Because it's this old book that convicted us, saved us, and set us apart. And he began to say, it's got to be done just like God said. And when he got the man, he said, here's what we're going to do. God said, here is the attack technique we're going to use. Did you notice in the first battle of Ai, now in Jericho, in Hebrews says, the battle of Jericho in chapter 6, there does not record a man's life being lost. But it does record in chapter 7, makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? If God be for us. And in chapter 7, there's 36 man's life lost. Here it says, if you read on down in chapter 8, it says that there was 12,000 of those of Ai, of men and women, that died there in that battle. But it does not declare there was a one of the children of Israel's life lost. Why? God's leading the way. God's directing this plan. It ever been has to be done according to God's plan. Listen, was it easy? No, sir. No, ma'am. Was there fear and dread? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Joshua will come into this. He had saw the terror of the enemy and he knew. Folks, I got news for you today. You're no match for the devil in yourself. I don't care how little the devil may seem. He'll destroy you if you're not in the will of God. That devil will destroy you. You've got to have God to fight the battle. I can see very well why Joshua was fearing. Somebody said, doesn't say he's fearing. It sure does. God said, be not afraid. That means he's fearing. Don't be dismayed. That means he's troubled about this thing. I can see why he was. He just looked at the battle. And he's wanting to make sure. Listen, folks, sometimes Joshua is in a valley situation. But there's victory over the valleys in our life. And the Bible declares here, he got the 30,000 men ready. And he began to declare to them, here's what God said. You're to go on the north side of Ai. You're to go on the west side and lie all night there and wait. And listen, here's the part that God just expressly put in my spirit. That Joshua in verse 13 says that he went in the midst of that valley. In chapter 10, or 11 rather, it says there was a valley between them and Ai. What are you saying? I'm here to declare to someone this morning, there's a valley between you and every victory that God has for you. But if you'll say, of God, I'll do everything you said. If I've got to lie in this valley, nobody else stayed in the valley in the midst of it all night but Joshua. Joshua went right down in the midst of that valley. You know what? When you look at a valley, how do you define a valley? I define it as a very low place. We go down into the Boxley. What's it called? Boxley Valley. That means every direction you look, there's higher levels. You're in that low place. I can tell you, God designed this valley for Joshua. Joshua was in command under the Lord. He saw the captain of the Lord's host. He saw Jesus, if you will. And he saw that sword. Hippopied, he's in charge of this battle. And Jericho was defeated by faith. And now it come into carnality. Folks, if it ever took faith to please God, it still takes faith today. You don't impress God by what you know. You don't impress God by what you think you are. But you impress God when you have faith to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find a very familiar story. Got to hurry. In this story, you see, Jesse sends the youngest of his sons down to take his brother's pledge, and his name just happened to be David. He's a ruddy lad. He doesn't look like he's anything. He doesn't act like he's anything. And the devil doesn't terrify him. They have to pull him over and hide him. He ain't even got enough sense to run when the devil roars. He comes where? To the valley of Elah. He was in a valley. And the Bible says that the battle had been set in raid for 40 long days. Meaning nothing's happening. The enemy come on one side of the hill. Remember, a valley's a low spot. If that devil can get you in a low spot, sir, if he can keep you there, he'll begin to define to you, I've got you where I want you. And in that low spot of life, I'll kill you. He began to say to David, little boy, I'll take your head off and feed it to the fowls of the air. It wasn't when David's on the mountain. Listen, folks, even David's brother made threats to him and said, I know the naughtiness of your heart. What are you saying? It wasn't enough. The devil's mad, but the church is mad along with him. Most folks today, I never dealt with more jealousy in preachers this year, Brother Arliss, than I ever have. They ain't stirred, and bless God, you better not get stirred, because I'll do everything I can to shut you down. The singers are dead, and you better not sing with any anointing or any expectation, because we're going to set on you. Hello? That's where we're at. We're in competition. The first church of the deadhead ain't aimed for nobody else to show them up. We had this battle going for 40 days, but how many devils have we killed? The devil's doing the threatening, and we're sitting back hiding and terrified. But here come a little boy that just said, Father, you said go, I'm going. I believe, friend, we ought to be willing if the Father says go, where are you sending me, Father? I'm sending you in the midst of the valley. I'm sending you in the midst of the valley. Everybody wants to be on the mountain. But it's in that valley. Let's sing a little bit of the old song. I was low in the spirit. Come on, help me this morning. I cried, Lord, lift me out, for I want to go higher with Thee. For nothing grows high on a mountain. So He picked out this valley for me. Oh, He leads me beside still waters. Somewhere in the valley below, He draws me aside to be tested and tried. For in the valley, He restoreth my soul. Listen to verse number 2. It was dark as a dungeon. Oh, and the sun seldom shined. I question, Lord, why must this be? And he tells me there's strength in my sorrow, and there's victory in trial for me. Oh, and he leads me beside still waters, somewhere in the valley below. He draws me aside to be tested and tried, for in the valley he restoreth my soul. Yes, in the valley he restoreth my soul. The Father said, go down, take your brother's pledge, see how the battle's going. And David said, I can just visualize this. How do you know he said it? He had to know where he's going. He said, Father, where am I going? He done got the cheeses and the corn and the bread. And now the Father says, I'm sending you to the valley. Listen, folks, there's restoration in that valley. God did not send David down there without a source, without a means. He said, in that valley, you're going with bread. You're going with everything that you need. And most of all, you're going with me. I'm telling you, there's victory in that valley today. It doesn't matter what the situation may be. If it's a health issue, I'm here to tell you, some of the greatest valleys that individuals has ever went through, God says, I'm there. I'm the great physician. I'm the counselor. I'm the Prince of Peace. Everything you need. Brother Roger, he said, it may be in the valley where you find it, but thanks be unto God. David said in the 23rd Psalms, yea, though I walk where? Through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil. Why? Thou art with me. Woo! You're with me, Lord. I don't have to fear. In that valley, there's restoration. David got down there, and here's, we're going to look at the brother. What's the brother typify? The church. The brother says to him, every time the enemy come out and roared, here come a champion of the Philistine, Goliath by name. Everybody knows the story. And what's David do? He didn't know enough to be afraid. God had done said, I sent you there, and I've equipped you while you're there. And somebody said, here, grab one of them, hit him, and said, they began to run and hide when the Goliath roared. And David said, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Then he defied the army of the living God. Listen, folks, when you've got the bread in you, when you've got the meat of God's word inside of you, I'm here to tell you, the devil can roar, even in the valley. And a lot of times he'll say, he'll threaten your life, and he'll say, act big if you want to. It ain't in my ability. I'm tired of folks trying to be something they're not. They try to talk like somebody else, act like somebody else, and be somebody else. Just be yourself in Christ. I talk the way I talk wherever I'm at. If I was sitting down talking to somebody in a high office, I'd be myself. I dress the way I do. If they don't like it, I'm dressed holy enough. I'm covering my body. And if my clothes may be wore, even tattered a little, I don't buy clothes that's wore out. I just wear them until they get that way. But nowadays, folks ain't got much sense. They buy them already wore out and patched up. That's the kind mom said, when they get so bad, throw them away. Use them for a grease rag. And they're going paying good money, 50, 60 bucks for a pair of jeans that's shredded from up here to the pocket down past the knee. That makes me wonder, folks, can you even realize when you're in the valley, you ain't got no more sense than that? You may be crippled too high for crutches to help. May not be able to find no help, even in the valley. But I'm here to tell you, folks, There's something about this valley. God began to impress in my spirit. I told you I was going to get on the spoil. I'm going to do that later. Not going to have time this morning. But there's something about how that God said for him to not be afraid. Don't be affrighted, neither be thou dismayed. You don't have to be discouraged. Where you sending me, Lord? I'm sending you in the midst of a valley. You know what the Bible says in verse number 13? Joshua lied there in the midst of that valley all night. It wasn't no Sunday morning picnic. He's fighting every devil hell headed for a wedding. You remember what happened last time you tried this? 36, there's children in the camp now that's crying, my daddy's been killed. There's wives that's saying, I don't have a husband. I don't have a husband. And now I can tell you that devil's trying every way he can to defeat Joshua. Where's he trying to defeat him? In that valley. Oh, but it's in that valley. God says, I'll restore your soul. He didn't send Joshua down there empty. Here's what he said in verse number 1. It ain't going to be like it was in chapter 7. He said, don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, for I've given into thy hands of the king of Ai. Oh, not just that, but all the people. And not just that, but all the city. And not just that, but all the land. Not part of it. He said, I've given it all into thy hands. Don't you think for a moment, friend, when God begins to declare to you that he's given you a victory in something. I've stated many times through preaching this series, it's one thing to get the victory, but it's another thing to keep that victory. And God said, when you get in that valley, you may have to, if I have to spend the rest of my days, Brother Arliss, in that valley, right in the very midst of, when he said he's in the midst of, that means he's in the middle of that valley. Every demon on planet Earth is on either side of him, trying to convince him, was that really God speaking? Was that really God you felt in that service Sunday morning? Was that really God telling you, I will work things out if you'll listen to my word? It was really God, by the way. Why am I in this valley? That's where God put me. I'll come out of this valley with the victory. I'll come out of this valley with a shout. He's God of the valleys as well as God of the mountains. We sang an old song. He's God on the mountains, but he's God in the valley. One of the enemies the children of Israel was fighting against, they begin to say, why in the mountains you can fight and you can get the victory if you will, if stating it that way. But if you'll fight us in the plains, that's in the valley, you ain't going to get the victory there. I can tell you, folks, I wouldn't give you much for any preacher that just wants to preach when the services hit a high note. Come on. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I can't hardly keep preaching to preachers. Brother Arliston, God knows we need it. I wouldn't give you much for a singer that only wants to sing when there's a congregation that'll listen and applaud. I wouldn't give you much for a musician if they won't give their best and six people in that congregation play. I wouldn't give you a nickel to hear them if there's 1,000 there. If that's what excites them, what are you saying? It might be in the valley that God's getting ready to give you a great victory and a great deliverance. But I say this as I'm coming to a close. I'm not nowhere near done with this. But I feel the urgency for an altar service this morning. There's people sitting in this congregation. You've got terminal diseases. Some of you aren't even aware. Some of you are carrying cancer in your body. And you don't even know it. You listen to this preacher. Right now you think things are going fairly well. Oh, you're in a low spot. There's probably not anybody here that's got much mind at all that don't realize we're in one of the greatest conflicts we've ever been. You know where valleys are fought and won is when folks are in the valley. Or battles are fought and won when they're in the valley. I cannot mention the any battles, Brother Arliss. You think Gethsemane was fought on the mountain? No, sir. It was in the valley. It was in the valley of Gethsemane. That's where it was fought. I can tell you, friend, some of the greatest victories ever been won has been in a valley, not been up on the mountain. And God wants to declare to His church today, regardless of what the devil said, let every devil be a liar, but let the Word of God be true today, regardless of what He's roared out and the threatenings He's made. As He said to Joshua, don't fear, nor neither be dismayed. You don't have to be discouraged about what the devil's roared, but you can be excited. Start getting excited in advance, because if God declared it, it'll come to pass. You think the sun will shine better tomorrow? No, 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 no. Some of you won't hear this morning, but just in the physical. You think it's bad now. You spend a little bit of time in weeping now. Yes, I'm talking to you. You wait a few weeks. You've not seen anything in a battle. Unless, you see, that's basically what God's declaring to Joshua. You think you saw some trouble at Ai? You better begin to listen. Folks, in the ending of this chapter, what a wonderful picture. Joshua builds an altar. In that altar, he declares to Israel every word, not a one of the words that the Lord spoke them. Every one of them. I got to have them all, God. I need everything, the woes, the blessings. You see, it's not just enough. He began to say, there's blessings and there's curses. And Moses pronounced them both. There's a blessings if you do, but there's a curse if you don't. And listen, folks, as sure as we're here today, you're not here by chance. God ordained this service. I didn't know what I was going to be preaching. Altogether, I done told you. I thought I was going on the small, preaching on the people getting the small. I may not be done with this for another month. I don't know. But I can tell you, if God keeps anointing me to preach it, I'll preach it. If I preach it on my dying bed, I'll preach it however long God said. Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you something. There's an enemy in that valley, as it was in Achan's time. But listen to what Hosea said in Hosea chapter 2, and I believe it's verse number 10. He said, the valley of Achan will be a door of hope to the children of Israel, and that's you and I, folks, to the children of God, and they'll be singing there. It'll not be weeping, it'll not be mourning, but they'll be singing of joy. Why? Because God opened that door of hope through His blessed Son, Jesus Christ. In the very valley, there's a blessed hope there. I'm not telling you I know the answer other than Jesus. David said in Psalms 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. Verse 71, it was good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Listen, sicknesses ain't altogether bad. I wouldn't be preaching this gospel had not dilemmas come and I was in a valley. It wasn't on the mountain that one day I just woke up feeling so good and said, bless God, I'm going to preach. No, sir. I run till I was in the lowest valley a man could ever get in. And as Joshua was there in that valley, I visualize him. His head's bowed between his knees to the ground. And he's weeping, crying out, not just for himself. He's fearing that there's flesh here. He's fearing that everything hadn't been put under the blood, if you will. He's fearing defeat, such as the devil will bring to you defeat. Here some few years ago, we had a knot come up in our neck. You remember me telling about this. And the first thing, you go to the doctor. I can tell you, if you don't go to Dr. Jesus first, and them doctors, they'll terrify you to death. First thing he said, head says, look like you might have cancer. I thought, well, you lying devil, you. But guess what? I was in the valley. And the first thing I know, Brother Earl, the devil jumped up on my shoulder and he said, you might as well get things ready because you're going to die and not live. Does that story sound familiar? He done it in Hezekiah's time, some 600 years before Christ was born. And he said to him, you're going to die and not live. But when Hezekiah, and somebody said, well, I thought the prophet said that he did. But the devil is the one that declares death upon us. And when he began to praise God, the Bible says that the Lord reversed that thing and said, you're not going to die, but you're going to live. You're going to live. Things won't be better outside of the Lord. I've been miserable for the last while. And that ain't like me. I told Jim's the other day, sometimes I want to just take off, leave. Somebody here needs to hear this because I'm bare. You know, a shepherd will feel the infirmities and the hurts of the other people. And I'm told I am. I don't know what's going on. But I don't know how much more that I can stand. Just feel like sometimes you're just at the verge of death itself. God, I've got to have help. Bury your face in the midst of that valley. There's victory in that valley. It's between them and AI. That victory very well could be a valley that's between you and it. Will you pursue on to get that victory? It's on the other side. Will you pursue on? I'm here to tell you, if God be for us, who can be against us? There's victory on the other side of that valley. Let me say this. Sometimes we don't hate sin enough to want to be away from it. Right here at this very altar, several years ago, a man come up wanting deliverance from cigarettes. This has been 12 years, 15 years ago. I'll never forget it. He had both hands thrown in there. Had a pack of cigarettes in his pocket. And he said, I need deliverance from these cigarettes. And I, before God said, ask him if he wants deliverance. And I said, Lord, if this said he needed deliverance, there's a difference in the need and the want. God ain't going to go against your want. God, I realize I'm a sinner. I need saved. But he ain't going to save you till you want it and till you desire it and till you ask for it. And I said to this man, I looked at him. He's got both hands in the air and he's starting to pray. And I whispered in his ear. And I said, God told me to ask you, do you really want deliverance? He paused about 30 seconds. He said, no, I don't. I like them too well. No needing wasting time praying on this need. Somebody said, preacher, that's harsh and that's hard. No, sir. No, ma'am. If we don't want deliverance, guess what? We're not going to get deliverance. If you don't want, everybody wants their physical healed. I don't know anybody that enjoys pain. I stated a while ago, some of you, possibly right here today, not a doubt in my mind, I feel the Lord laid it in my spirit. You're carrying something in your body you're not aware of. And some of you probably carrying things in your body you are aware of. Ain't nobody I know, if your toe hurts, that when you pray and say, Lord, heal my toe, you don't mean it. You want it healed. There ain't none of you here if you're down in your back. But what you don't mean it when you say you want to be healed. But when we get that healing, what are we going to do with it? God ain't going to heal us for us to go back out and to the hootenannies in the world and dance with the world. God ain't going to heal us for that. He's going to heal us to be His hands, to be His feet, and to be His voice. I've been observing preachers lately, even in some good preachers, preachers I've got confidence in. I'll tell you, do you think it's always easy for me to amen and holler, folks? No. Sometimes I'm in the valley. But I've declared, God, you put me somewhere where somebody's preaching it. They're preaching the truth. I'm going to back them. I'm going to holler, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Preach it, brother. Preach it, sis. Sing that song. I'm going to get with them. But I've been watching preachers. And I don't tell you, everybody order the spotlights on the preachers. Watch them. They sit there like they've been dead for 30 days. They stink up by now. That just takes 4 days. And they want the congregation to move. They're up there preaching. Here's the preacher struggling and doing everything they can. And at this particular time, like I stated a while ago, there's been a few services here lately. My God, I thought I was going to die in them. Brother Arliss, I didn't know if I'd live. And the folks really understood that. What are you saying? I'm not preaching a bless me, a prosperity. You'll come back if you will. If you'll come back, I'll preach you some more of this. The blessing is great to be preached. But I can tell you, God cannot bless sin. He cannot bless when we bring in the world and put it among our stuff. And we expect God to do what we can't do. He won't do it. We got to be separate from the Lord. I don't know altogether what's happening, folks, but I know this. We do everything we know to do, and it's going to be grace that takes us in. But don't you use grace as a crutch to stand on. Paul said to the Galatians, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin live therein any longer? The desires died in us to be like the world. And I find myself occasionally, folks, that's why I need the house of God so bad. I need for God to place and birth in me something that's more than the... You can't get it on discount at Walmart. They don't put it on special on the Black Friday or Dark Friday or Blue Friday or whatever it is after Thanksgiving. I ain't never figured that out either. That ought to be black, but that's what they call it. Is it black or dark or whatever it is? Best deals you'll ever get. Everybody eating it alive. But I can tell you, you ain't going to find what I'm talking about on the discount. We'll find it in the midst of the valley. God's speaking to hearts here this morning. Singers, come. Sis, would you come sing that song that I ask you to sing a lot? The Window in Heaven. Would you sing that? Huh? Not for sale? All right.